Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome to both sides of the mic, the real his and hers. This is the relationship podcast where we stop sugarcoating love and start telling the truth. No therapy speak, no internet cliches, no pretending relationships are easy if you just communicate better. We're going to talk about what actually happens, like marriage, dating, conflict, resentment. Where does faith play into this? Responsibility, repair. Like the shit that people really experience but don't always say out loud, because y'all, strong relationships are not built on vibes, okay? They're built on honesty and clarity and accountability. And I'm very excited today. So I'm introducing a new co-host, and this is the Rory Paquette. He is the podcast professional, strategist, industry insider, someone who knows how to cut through the noise and get to actually what matters. And he is bringing the greatest male perspective, okay? The behind the scene lens. And I'm very excited for you guys to see this, because this is going to be kind of a listen bitch podcast meets the power of man podcast. And if you don't know what that is and you're a man on the show listening right now, you need to get resourced and follow Roy, because he does really have some powerful shows. But Roy, thank you so much for stepping up here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to this new venture. You and I are co-hosts on another show, and
Yeah.
I love that. I love working with you on that. And so I'm hey, let's do it in a totally different way
Yeah.
and to a totally different crowd. I can't wait.
Right. No, it's easy, and I know a lot of people are going to recognize your name and your voice, because we do have the Boiling Point Faith and Fire, which is a little racy podcast. It's a little one of us gets very outspoken, and yeah, it's definitely, we could play that game. But no, I'm telling you guys, like, Rory is so good with this that whenever we do a show together, it's like the last thing I have to think about. I don't have to prepare, and even if I do prepare, I forget it in the other room anyway. But I don't have to overthink this, and it's so fun and it's so easy, and I think that it's gonna be for a great show for you guys, okay? Today I kind of want to gear this towards telling the truth in a relationship, because if telling the truth feels like it might blow up your life, it's probably because you are holding everything together with silence. Not peace, not maturity, silence. And you guys, silence does not heal relationships. It just buys time, while resentment is quietly sharpening knives. Okay. And a lot of people aren't necessarily afraid of conflict. That's what everybody's excuse is. I'm afraid of conflict. They're afraid of what happens when things get honest and what that honesty might cost them, which is like approval or stability or the illusion that everything is just fine. But this, okay, we'll start with this one. This is a great one for me. And the funny thing is, I should just tell you, or I'll tell you guys later, about my truth that my husband told me that I think has come up in relationships before, that a version of me probably would have stabbed him for. Okay. So we'll get to my truth confession here in a minute, and I want to hear about Roy's too. But I want to talk about the it's fine lie. Okay? Because this one's like alive in kitchen and cars as we speak. And it's that point of, like, when you're asked, are you okay? You're not at all. But what do we say? Yeah, I'm fine. And we do this because being fine obviously feels safer than naming disappointment. It keeps the peace. You avoid the risk of being misunderstood or starting something when you're already tired. Like, if someone asked me if I'm okay right now, I would be like, I'm fine. I'm fine because I'm tired. But like, your body doesn't believe the lie, and your body's keeping the score. Your tone changes, your energy pulls back, you become quieter, colder, and distracted. And the other person can feel it even if they don't know why. So you just out the gate are teaching your brain that honesty equals conflict and silence is safety, and that rewarding sticks. So responsibility, I mean, there's a way to frame this where you could take responsibility, but I'm going to ask Rory, from your perspective, when someone says I'm fine but clearly isn't, do men usually hear that as truth, or is it like the red flag warning sign that you see being made fun of on social media and you just don't know how to respond?
So the question is whether or not our significant other says I'm fine back to us, or when we're saying I'm fine.
Well, let's do
Okay.
both. You ask your wife if she's fine or if she's okay. How you doing? She's like, I'm fine.
All right. So I asked my wife how she's doing. She says I'm fine. That is, I'm not fine, and you need to figure out what's wrong with me.
Okay.
It's a challenge, really. So as soon as I hear I'm fine, there is it doesn't mean the same thing as when a guy says it. When a guy says it, okay, if I say it to my wife, hun, I'm fine, really, I'm fine. That means I don't want to fight about this right now.
Yeah.
When a woman says it, it means they do want to fight about it right now. They want you to figure out what you're supposed to fight about and what you did wrong. And that's really where how I approach it when I hear the I'm fine thing. Either way, it's up to us as men to take that on and go, look, there's a problem. Okay. And the piece that gets left out of this is that when somebody's asking the other one, are you okay? Before you get the I'm fine, the only reason you're asking if they're okay is because you kind of have an idea they're not okay. Right? So anyway, that's where I am on the I'm fine thing.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that is still such a thing for guys to be so triggered by that they're not trying to get deeper in that? But don't you think that both sides kind of hold that perspective of or hold responsibility? Like it's my responsibility to communicate to my husband why I'm not fine. It's not really his responsibility to figure that out, is it?
I don't know if I would say it's his responsibility until you say I'm fine. So prior to you saying I'm fine, no, you would think that it would be your responsibility to say, no, I'm not fine. This is what's going on. I got having an issue, and then we can deal with it.
Yeah.
Once you get the I'm fine, that I think is right there the shift of responsibility, because at that point it shifts over to the man to go, okay, that was her telling me I'm not okay, and you need to figure this out, and you need to handle something. So that's when you kind of have to engage. I'm fine could mean I want to talk. I'm fine could mean I'm just really mad and I want you to figure out why. It could mean a lot of different things, but it really is a call to the guy to wake up
Right.
and engage. Like, hey, put your phone down, turn the TV off, right? Engage. Attention right here.
I like that. Well, how do you get the fella to engage without ego? Because I feel like when, a wife is not okay, like a husband automatically just has this like sixth sense radar to post up like defensive, like I don't know. How do you
I
do
agree.
without the ego?
I agree. I think that well, that is both parties. If you as a female don't want your significant other to be, we're just going to say husband and wife. Is that okay? Just because I'm tired of being politically correct. We don't do politically correct. So, if the wife doesn't want the husband to be defensive, some of that onus is on the wife, because if the last time you asked him. Or the last time you said, hey, I'm fine, or you tried to talk to him and he engaged and you literally came unglued and, beat him to death or turned Tasmanian devil on him or made him feel really horrible for not knowing, if that's what you did to him before, we have very, very strong memories when it comes to that kind of thing. We have a lot of that almost PTSD from it in a
Okay.
lot of ways. So it's, there is some onus on the wife in that case. I go through whenever I talk to guys, I'm always telling them the easiest thing is to take the responsibility though on yourself. It's not to blame yourself, but it's to take the responsibility on yourself to figure out the path forward.
Right.
And that way, if your wife wants you to lead, then you can. If she doesn't want you to lead, you can back off. But either way, you're the one who's going, what do I need to do? And if you don't take that accountability, it turns into a blame game.
Right. And that's always fun for
Yeah.
right?
That's
But
never fun.
I think for your wives or maybe you guys aren't married yet, maybe it's your girlfriend. I think that female perspective is like I feel like when we say that we're fine, it's sometimes manipulation. I do think there's a little bit of manipulation sometimes when that's happening. And I think there is that manipulation of like, oh, I want to see if you're willing to find out, right? But also, and I know especially for myself, it's like self-protection. Like I do this rapid internal calculation and I'm like, do I have the energy to explain this? Or, you know, is this, am I going to be defensive? Am I, you know, is it going to make him defensive? Am I emotionally unattached from the outcome of his response and whatever it is that I'm sitting in this moment? Can we talk about this? Or, you know, is he in a space where he can respond to me? Or is he going to be like, you're overreacting? You know, so I weigh everything out for sure before I finish, and I choose silence, and it's not because of the truth. I think sometimes it's just the timing.
Okay.
Timing.
Let me flip it on you for a minute, okay? Because having this conversation, if you're aware of this sort of thing, then the responsibility is on both parties to not, in the first place, say, I'm fine. It's to actually communicate instead of doing that. But be that as it may, if you say to your husband, I'm fine, are you saying I need you to come, focus and spend some time on me and figure this out? Or are you saying, I don't even want to be dealt with right now, leave me the heck alone?
Yeah. Personally, I mean, our relationship has come to the point where absolutely I'm like, not right now. I'm fine is just like, and I'm, you know, not right now. Or it could be too, like, you know, I carry on, I'm a mom, so I'm carrying the weight of like juggling the house and ordering food and paying the bills and organizing meals and on top of everything else I want to do, I do everything. And so there's a point where like I say I'm fine because I'm fine with him. But like, no, I'm stressed the fuck out and I don't want to put that on you before you're leaving for work, you know. I don't want to just trauma dump on you and then say bye, you know. So there are times where it also is in a way to protect him, but usually here's the thing, you guys. I mean, it in my marriage really, I don't even know the last time I've even had to say I'm fine because if I have a problem, it's there, you know, and he's still coming around on the communication part of like getting ahead of his blow-ups, right? He's still coming to that, to where he can see that it's safer, you know, for him to speak his own truth. So, but yeah, there has to be a point in the relationship where if you're not fine or if something's off, you can communicate that, you know. Like I tell him, yeah, I think it was like yesterday where I was just like, it's kid stuff, you know, mom stuff. There's not really a lot. He can't do anything about it. Nobody can. So, yeah, I'm fine in that I'll be fine, you know?
Yeah, you brought something up though that I want to jump on real quick too in this entire dynamic that you're talking about, and that is the idea of sort of being safe to say anything or react in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's where a lot of husbands kind of get lost. If they have had, if they've taken a wrong step, if they've reacted wrong and they've been just pummeled, or, been told that they're this or they're that, or they're not sensitive enough, or they're not attentive enough, or whatever it might be, then, guys don't go back there. Okay, we're more strategic in our thinking, not than you, but of, that's how we funk focus. We don't want to be emotional thinkers. We want to be strategic and logical thinkers is what we want for ourselves. So if I'm trying to be strategic, I'm going to like recognize, okay, what happened here? This is what happened. Then I took this step. Then I took this step. Then the hand grenade went off. Oh, so in the future, I want to change one of these steps so I don't end up in the same spot with the hand grenade going off, right? Well, when you try that a couple of times and the hand grenade just keeps going off, at some point every guy is going to go, the hand grenade is going to go off no matter what I do. So there's no safe place to go. And that's when they start to not engage. That's when they start to just withdraw from the entire thing. Because no matter what they do, there's a hand grenade going off. Right. So, I would love to see the wives just take that part on a little bit and say, hey, you can't always be the minefield. Sometimes you have to actually let your husband ask the question. Give him an explanation that doesn't require a beating with a baseball bat. Just that type of thing. So if you want your guy to keep engaging, men do reach a point. We will take an awful beating. I mean, we will take the batting about the head and neck and shoulders, for a long, long time, some longer than
Write
others.
this down. Kick
But
ass later. I've yet to give him a beating, and I didn't know he would take it. Like, that's amazing.
we will take the beating for a very long time, but all of us have a breaking point. And the real problem is that once we hit that breaking point, it's I'm not sure there's a marriage therapist in the world that's bringing a guy back from that.
Right.
Really and truly. So any change in behavior has to happen before the guy puts up his hands and goes, done,
Done.
no more.
Yeah.
I'm out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to just
Yeah,
touch on that,
no,
the safety thing.
that's great. It's great. And I think, man, I think if, I guess because I've been married for 100 years, it's not as you've been married for 200. I get 100.
I was gonna say it's been a minute, yeah.
But like, there was a point where we were both reactive in the beginning, reactive to everything. Everything was personal. We're defensive about everything. And it's like, there has to be a point where we agree that we're going to be on the same team,
Sure.
So I think just if you're having these issues, and I'm fine as something that is still used as a weapon in your house, like check yourself. Either both sexes, check yourself,
Yeah, 100%.
I want to talk about resentment, and I do feel like this shows up in long-term relationships more than like boyfriend, girlfriend, unless you guys have been engaged for like 10 years. Okay, then I don't even know what to tell you about that. But when I say resentment, I mean like you're saying yes when you mean no. You help when you're exhausted, you give grace, and you're just like quietly keeping score, like dun dun dun. And I know we do this because like I do this. I want to be good. I want to be loving. I want to be low maintenance. And we're humans. We want to be needed. But what's really happening is you start to open this invisible spreadsheet in your head, and every unspoken frustration gets logged. Like I caught myself this morning doing it, where I was like, why are you logging this stuff? Like, why are you trying to keep track of this? Like, we're going to squash that. We're going to communicate. But like, what's going to happen if I don't check myself? One small thing is going to trigger a reaction that is not going to match the moment, meaning I'm gonna lose my shit when he doesn't rinse his coffee cup, right? It's just a coffee cup, but I'm gonna blow up because I've been keeping score. So now he's gonna feel blindsided. Nobody's gonna understand why the argument feels so big, not in the heat of the moment like that. But this is where I come from, is when you can say, like, I'm starting to feel resentful, like there's too much coming on right now. It's not on me for not, it's on me because I didn't bring this up sooner. That thing, that thought, that sentence, like, saves a lot of damage. How often do you think that resentment starts because someone didn't speak up early and not necessarily because someone did something wrong?
Almost always, honestly, almost always, because I think that even the doing something wrong is more than often, more than not, is based on not knowing that that's some kind of trigger or that that's an issue, that type of thing, where communication would have cleared up the idea that this was wrong, in the first place. Everybody keeps score.
Yes.
Everybody keeps score. Both sides, all the time, nonstop. It's something I talk about on, with my guys a lot. But I think one of the biggest issues with keeping score is that guys don't keep score the same way as women do. Okay. For instance, when you and I both sit here talking about keeping score, give me some of the things you keep score on.
Well, okay, so I'm just telling Rory this week. I can't even think of anything prior to this. But it's, and I haven't gotten to talk to him about this, and he's probably going to hear it before we could talk, and that's not fair, babe. I love it. Or he just almost lost his coffee.
Ben's going to be like, what is going on?
I know. I didn't even tell him we were doing this. This is so
Ben, I'm sorry, man.
funny. Like I'm dying right now. So I've been waking up to go to the gym at 5, and that's what time he goes to bed. Like he goes to bed at like 4, 4:30, and I wake up. Yeah, my alarms, I'd actually went off at 5:30 today because I went to bed so late last night. But I felt that. I felt that, I started to feel that resentment because he comes home and he has this routine that he does every night, and his life is pretty cush. Okay. Like he works his ass off for us, but I make sure his life is pretty cush. And so I'm tired this week. I started a new routine. My body's not used to it. I went from waking up at like 7 or 8 and reading the Bible with my cat and taking another nap, okay, to literally like I'm killing myself this week. And so Is it that I really resent him? No, it's that I'm really tired and he's like the only punching bag available. So am I mad at what happens? No, but that's what I caught myself doing today. I'm like, oh, that mom, he's got it so easy and I'm dying today. Like I just am sitting at the table. I can't keep my eyes open. I'm like, I cooked three. I had to cook dinner because I'm going to be recording all night. I was doing so much stuff and I'm just like, oh, he's just sitting there drinking his coffee before he goes to work. Like, no, he doesn't, he's just free as a bird. But yeah, it's, that's the point of where I could talk to him. Like, I'm super tired this week. I didn't know how hard it was going to catch me. I'm changing my schedule upside down. And I'm an 8 hours of sleep kind of person. I am not getting that. I think I'm getting like six. Okay. So yeah, all of it. And that's it. That was me keeping score today, where I suddenly realized like I was focused on that thought of like how easy he has it and what was on my plate. When I started getting that, I checked myself and I'll talk to him and he'll be like, oh, how can I help? What else can I do? And it's that simple. I just have to talk to him. Or I do what I wanted to do this morning and I stab him because apparently guys could take the beating.
He's gonna just get he's gonna be calling me up going, thanks for letting that out of the bag that we can take this beating. Really appreciate
I'll have him come online and say
it,
hi with a black eye and just be like, thanks, everybody.
right. Appreciate you guys. Well, thank you for kind of proving the point. I appreciate that very much because when I asked you, I said that we look at things differently and we keep score differently. And the first thing that came out of your mouth was, I know he works his butt off, but he's got a cush life. You used the word cush. I mean, that's descriptive. That's literally lying in pillows, almost like billowy softness around you of cushness and, ease, right? Brandon feeding him grapes, while
I
he just
do.
sits
I just made him French toast and bread in bed yesterday or the day
there.
before. Like, I'm telling you, he's got it good.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you. This is where guys mess up, though, because guys start off this scorekeeping thing. You guys start at the top, check, 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 this. Guys, when they make the mistake, they start off going, well, I work, okay, for 50 hours a week. So check, 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 check all down my list. What has she done? Right. So they think that you need to like catch up to the 10 hours of work they did that day. And I just did an episode of this like 2 days ago. I can't believe we're talking about this. I just did a quick, foundational moment on Power Man and said this exact thing, reminded these guys. As men, we have to understand that the scorekeeping thing is bad. So you want to get away from that regardless. But if you get caught up in scorekeeping, at least understand that you don't get credit for the first 48.
Ooh.
That's a fact. Okay. The first 48, that's the first 48 hours in the week. Now you can take that as a 40-hour job plus an hour a night plus, something on the weekend. Or you could take it as I work 10 hours a day. Well, that's just about all the work then that you put in that week. You don't get any credit for that. And I don't mean that badly, like your
I
wife
know
doesn't
exactly
think
what
you
you're saying.
work.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is that that's your job, man.
Yeah.
That is like the wide receiver in football who catches the ball and then like gets 4 yards and gets a first down. And then he starts jumping and hooting and hollering and we're all looking at him like,
Why are you
that's your
so?
job.
Yeah.
You made $6 million this year to catch a ball. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Go get an 80-yard touchdown with a one-handed catch, then you can cheer. Okay, until then, I don't want to see your celebration. Guys think that we get some sort of extra credit for that, and we don't. When the scorekeeping starts is when you get home, okay? Because your wife's been doing this, she's been doing this, she's been doing this. You don't get to walk in and go, well, I did this all day, so I'm doing nothing now.
Right.
Okay. So it's almost like you have to look at it like the kids, if they were keeping score, how would they clock it? Saw mom do this, saw mom do that, haven't seen dad do anything. A lot of guys have a hard time with that
Yeah.
because they're like, well, but I do this. And listen, you made that decision. It's how you take care of your family. That's your job as a man. I don't want to hear any more about that. Okay. And if you're like, well, then maybe she should get a job, then I'm done talking to you anyway in this conversation. So, because you just don't deserve to, no, you don't deserve your wife at that point. So, good luck, count your blessings. But when you can eliminate the first 48 from the equation, and then you go, all right, well, I came home and I did help with the dishes, and maybe I helped give the kids a bath, and I took out the dog. Garbage. And then you know what? Maybe I did some dishes. Okay, hey, all those things count. You can check boxes for all that stuff. But you got to get in the game at some point with the boxes that get checked outside of work. That's the biggest deal.
Right. And I mean, it is a team effort. And I think, Ben does know. He's been home with the kids before. I have worked full time, opposite hours, and he knew how hard it was, So every day that he drives away and gets a break, I'm like, oh, you lucky. Like, he gets to clock out from here, I'm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, y'all. I'm going mad. Okay. There is no break anymore from mom, mom, mom. And that alone takes like 10 years off your life, I think. I'm pretty sure. Like, I
Did you
don't
see what you just said right there,
know.
too? That's the point also. You just said he gets to go to work to get a break.
Get a break. That
He's going, killing himself from work for 10 hours, and you're going, no, he had a 10-hour break. I don't want to hear this.
he's on break,
That's why. That's why you got to take the first 48 out of the equation, because the two sides are never going to see it the same. So, guys, just eat that part and move on. It makes your life so much easier. You're free then. And then you actually can get in the game, and if you need to keep score, fine, keep score from there. But wow, that's funny. You just said he gets a break.
He does. He gets.
Poor guy.
We've
He
talked
works.
about switching places. I'm like, we could switch anytime. Like, I will switch anytime. I'll go out and work three jobs to support this house, and you stay here 24/7. He knows he couldn't do it. Like, there's no way he could do my job here. And so there is a level of respect because he's been in the position to run the house, to take care of the kids, to manage every, you're the therapist, I'm a referee. Referee, I homeschool. Like, there's just a lot.
Right.
Okay, so he's been there, done that, and he'll continue to drive away. In fact, he was just off for like 3 weeks at Christmas, and I've never seen him happy to go to work before until after that 3 week break. And I'm like, wow, we were all ready for him to go back, though. It was totally mutual. But I
Can't
think,
mess with that dynamic. Yeah, right.
like, I feel like women don't really start resentful though, because I feel like we're kind of like the hopeful love struck, right? Like, we give the grace, we adapt. But what our flaw is that we assume that the other person is going to notice and adjust and appreciate the sacrifice. And so when we feel unseen or even unspoken needs that go unmet, I'm not even talking at once, but repeatedly. I think that's what happens. And I feel like by the time your wife sounds angry, she's been quiet for a very long time. So it's not even about control. Like, resentment for us, I feel like it's grief for what we thought we would feel like at that point, if that makes sense.
It does makes actually, yeah, actually makes sense. Now, do you think that men come into the relationship sort of resentful already? Because it sounded like you were making kind of a distinction. I don't think women come into the relationship resentful, is what you said. So I'm
Yeah.
just curious, do you
Well,
think
I'm just
men come
saying,
in resentful?
no, not necessarily that, but I'm saying it's not like it's a natural thing for us. I feel like women always seem to be the most resentful. They get the bad rap for that. Like, my perspective is that, but yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. Okay. I can see where I can kind of see where you're going. Men do resent. I mean, we take that on. That's part of who we are, but it's not really directed at our wives. But as a thing, we'll go into work and resent the fact that we're killing ourselves for low pay and this guy over here is doing nothing for high pay, right? So there's those situations.
Or the situation where the government is corrupt and they're taking everybody's tax money and they're eating babies and you're still having to go to work, and
You're
criminals
blending.
free. No,
You're crossing your streams now.
it can't not cross. How disheartening for our men,
Right.
That's absolutely. It's frustrating. You follow the rules and you work hard and you pay taxes on taxes on taxes.
Right. So we are honestly, we're built, I think, for resentment. And I think that the world is set up to set us up to resent a lot of the things that are going on around us.
They want you
And
angry.
then, what's that?
They want you angry.
They do. And again, we're crossing our streams. We got to leave that podcast over there and leave this podcast over here. All right. Government eating babies, talking stuff. All right. But for the relationship part of this, what happens then is that, most men, when they get to that point too, their buddies that they may have to confide in, they're just as resentful about all the same stuff going on in their lives. They have nowhere to bring it. They have nowhere to go for solace or to let it out or anything else. So they go to their wives, right? Or they go home to their families and they just want to like try and let it seep into the couch, and just get out of me, somehow. And it doesn't work. When we don't have that brotherhood to let it loose to, we bring it home and it doesn't end up being shared with your wife. It ends up being taken out on your wife. And that's the end result. So I can see what you mean, that we sort of bring resentment into the picture more than women do from the get-go because of society and the way it's set up. Yeah, I'll give you that.
No, and I get that perspective of, I do bear a lot of that weight because Benjamin doesn't have that. It's the two of us, literally. It's the two of us. And I had to set a boundary of like, here's this amount of time from this amount of time. You can complain about anything and everything you want when the clock strikes midnight, like done. Like, I can't take it. Or if I can feel his energy, I just am automatically like I have to protect my nervous system because I'm with the kids all day. And so if I can feel like he's about to go off the rails, I can either, if I have the capacity to be able to sit in it, I can be like, what's up? Knowing that he's gonna dump it. But if I'm not ready, then it is just that like, babe, I can't, I love you, but my day's heavy. I can't carry this for you right now. I can't help that. So there is a point in a relationship where I feel like you have to become so emotionally mature that you're aware of all of that stuff,
For
and
sure.
not just her responsibility either. Like he knows now. I think it's been pretty, it's a pretty common habit now of just like, when he's not feeling it, he kind of just avoids, like he just stays to himself. Just quiet, and he just has his space, and I'm fine with that. Like, it is not my responsibility to make him happy or help him process his stuff. Like, he's got to do that. I cannot do it for him.
Fair, fair. Right.
Okay. The timing thing is also a problem with men and women. Like, something needs to be said, but you wait until whatever you feel like you're good. And most of the time, once you get good, you don't ever really ever say it. And I know we do this because we think we owe people like a great delivery or maybe owe them no delivery at all. But your nervous system again is going to carry all of that emotional business. And the longer it sits, the louder it wants out. And then the price of this is that you're either going to go numb and you're going to check out, or you're going to explode, and neither of those things are going to benefit an intimate relationship. There has to be a point where we kind of take that responsibility to say like, I'm so mad, I don't know how to get this out right, but I just have to say it because like it's making me, like it's poisoning me, so I feel like truth doesn't need to be this little polished perfected thing. It just needs presence. Do you think waiting until you're ready to talk is maturity, or is it really just a performance of fear?
Yeah, I think it's fear, and I think it's habit. That's what we do, is especially as men, is we wait till we can't take it anymore. If you're getting upset and I don't know how to handle it, and you're just sort of beating me with it, it's easier for me just to take it, let it go, kind of let you have your rant, and then come back later. Hey, I get it. You had a bad day, no problem. And we just kind of take the beating and we go on. That works for a while. Then guys reach a point where they say, hey, I can't take this beating today. And then it doesn't come out that way because we don't know how to talk about our feelings. We don't know how to be emotional. We don't know how to actually be honest about the stuff. It comes out in we're really mad about something else then, right? Or we're more into that transference of, I'm really mad because I can't fix what's wrong with you, because I hate seeing you upset. And I'm frustrated with myself as a man that I can't just fix your problem. and make you happy. So I'm going to take this tiny little thing, like you said, the coffee cup, right, not being washed or, whatever it might be. And I'm going to turn that into a gigantic, gigantic boulder in the room, right? That's what I'm going to do. That's what guys do, and it doesn't work out. No, it's bad. I think guys get to a point though, if their wife is willing to communicate and they figure out they've got to communicate, I think that you can kind of get to that point where, my wife and I did, after a lot of years, we got to the point where sometimes she just can't handle the energy I'm bringing. And she'll literally look at me and like, I can't take this on right now. I mean, I get it. I know you're upset, but I'm going to step away. Now, when that happens, I'm instantly defensive and kind of like, wait, what? And I'm like, no, like, that's our safe word. That's gotcha. You're walking away right now. I need to look at myself for a minute. How am I really coming across? What am I doing? Inevitably, she's right, because I'm just ranting about something. And then I come down. She comes down. We come back together. I'm like, sorry about that. She's like, it's okay. Just couldn't do it today. Come back tomorrow. Right. But I think you develop that. If you're interested in working on this stuff, you don't have to know everything that everybody knows, but you do have to want to know.
Yes, I agree on that. And I feel like that as women, I feel like sometimes we're taught that that emotional regulation that is so important is equal to suppression. And so she waits, she processes, she journals, she prays, and then she waits some more. And it's not because she doesn't know what she feels, but because she wants to say it right, And the problem is, you guys, is that your nervous system doesn't run on perfection. It runs on honesty. So it's hurting you physically, And then by the time you wait so long and the truth comes out sideways, and then you've got tears and the shutdown, and you say a bunch of shit you didn't mean, But I feel like, her, the perspective really for us is not avoidance. It's that fear of being misunderstood because guys do take everything personal and they do want to fix everything and they do feel like, they're failing as men and everybody needs to die, So it's.
I mean, I appreciate your paraphrasing what I said earlier,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
wow, couple liberties taken there. But all right, I got you. Sorry, Ben. I'm really
Oh.
sorry, man.
That is so funny. What do you mean? I think if he heard this, he'd be like, wow, men really take a beating. You've said that so many times that I think I'm doing something wrong as a wife. I'm literally going to go to Google and I'm going to be like, should I be beating my husband more?
Well, chat will tell you yes.
Well, chat and I aren't friends lately.
Right.
So no, chat will probably be like, I don't even know where that conversation went. I might as well try it just to see, but
Oh, goodness.
yeah.
All right.
So this one too, I feel like I used this for a couple years. Is that faith bypass? Because I feel like this is one of those subtle, dangerous things in a relationship, because I would just tell myself, like, I will just pray about it. God knows my heart. I need to be patient. And obviously, because giving it to God feels safer than confrontation, but I was really using that to avoid being obedient, because, like, he's never called me to disappear. He's called me to speak the truth in love, even when that sucks. And so, even though my relationship with God is like active, it's also stagnant because I'm not being obedient and I'm avoiding the things that I need to be speaking about. But then also the relationship's going to be stagnant. And this is what needs to happen. It needs to be both. Have you ever seen faith used as a way to avoid a hard conversation? And in a relationship, what does obedience to God really look like?
Boy, you saved the hammer for the end. I mean, that's the tough one. I have definitely seen it for sure. I know that my own faith journey has given me a unique perspective on this particular question because I know firsthand how tough it is to like actually give something to God. To say, I'm going to put this on God to handle. I know he'll take care of this for me. It's easy to say. But to actually mean it, to actually, for that to actually be what you're doing, is so incredibly difficult for so many people. You have to really be clear in your faith, deep in your faith, connected through your faith to truly be putting something on Jesus like that. So what I see more often than not is people say, I'm just going to give this to God and God's going to take care of it. What they're really saying is, I'm not going to deal with this right now. I'm just going to let this go and see if it gets any better. And I'm going to say God because that actually makes it sound better than I'm just giving up and I don't want to deal with this anymore. So I think God is the scapegoat. And I honestly would estimate about 90% of the time. Because again, I know how difficult that is for that to really be the case. So that's my experience, that's what I've seen. Now, can you do that? Well, sure, but then you don't just give it to God and walk away. I mean, that's just my opinion. I don't think you just hand it to God and then say, well, good luck with that. And then you go on doing the same stuff. Because I do think that everything that happens is also supposed to teach us a lesson. You know, when we have bad times, we're supposed to learn from them. But that's, you know, again, my opinion. That's where I'm at. So I guess if that sort of answers the question, then that's the best answer I can give you on that one.
No, it does.
So
It answered the question.
how do you feel about the act of, like, legitimately giving something to God to handle?
I do this every morning. I feel like I couldn't live without it. I give it to him. I've given him my kids. I've given him even my marriage. Like, there's times where I'm like, you know what? This whole title of being a wife is yours. Like, take this. I need to be Brandon. I need to be the best version of me. Like, I give him everything. I wake up every day and I'm like, what is heavy on my heart that I know I cannot control? And it is mostly my kids lately. You know, like I'm just like, these babies are yours, and I trust you, and you, everything he's ever done has worked out for me. Everything, and including my marriage. And there's days where I'm just like, I give this to you. Like, if you want this to work, then you've got to move something, because I can't handle this today. You know, this week, this month, this it's too much. And that's it. Like, I just close my eyes and I just physically imagine I'm just taking all of this heaviness out of me, and I'm just like, tear. I could not function without actively doing that.
That's big. That's awesome. That really is awesome that you can say that. I think, you know, for men especially, we have a hard time giving away what once we accept our responsibilities and we take our accountability and we're standing up and we're leading, then it really feels like you're shirking your duty when you just give something to somebody else, even if that somebody else is God. You know, and I know that that is the height of pride and pridefulness to say, I can't. Can handle it better than God can, but by the same token, it's just really, really difficult to give that away like that. Who knows?
There's something about testosterone, I feel like, that just has you guys, like guys in general, just running everything from ego. Like, it is a react. It's wild to me. It's profound to watch, because I, you know, as I'm starting to get better with my, you know, emotional regulation and stuff, it's easy to sit back and just be like, oh, okay, so he's acting really angry. He's actually super hurt. So how did I hurt his feelings? And like, how do we rewind to go back to that where I'm not going to make him feel insulted? And then I'm like, so I hurt your feelings. You know, we could talk about that. You know, this wasn't because the dog chewed up your slipper. I hurt your feelings. So it's amazing to watch, you know. And how do you hold that masculinity and still kind of lean into that? But you guys, listen, the big human truth, I feel like, behind all of this is that men and women avoid truth because we are wired for belonging. But I just want to be honest with you and your relationship where it stands. Belonging that is built on silence isn't really belonging. It's fake. And truth telling isn't about being harsh. It's about refusing to abandon yourself to keep a seat at the table, you know? And I'll tell you guys, the biggest thing that Ben ever told me, after I had our first kid, I was super, super fat. Like, I'm talking, I got so bad. And he came out one day and he was like, I don't really know how to say this. I love you so much. I want you to get healthy for these kids, but like, you have to lose weight. You have to lose weight. And anytime I've ever told people that, they're like, how is he still alive? I didn't get offended. I knew the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew the truth. I had to do something. But it's all taboo for anybody to ever comment on stuff like that. And why would I be so mad at something that's true? And I know it took a lot for him to come out and say that. Like, I'm sure he was terrified because I could have sat on him and killed him. You know? So I'm sure. But I'm just saying truth is so important, you guys. Truth is important. I would have probably have keeled over from a heart attack had I stayed on that path. You know, it's important that we're being honest to each other. You know, when people aren't telling the truth, you're not becoming a kinder person. You're becoming a quieter version of yourself. You're not showing everybody around you how much you love them. And relationships don't die from honesty. They die from emotional absence. So my last and final question for Rory, and then I'm going to let him close us out today. Is that if you had to name it, what is the real cost of people avoiding truth in relationships? And not necessarily immediately, but like what happens over time?
Distance and inevitably the failure of the relationship. And I don't think any relationship can succeed under those circumstances, like we just talked about. It may take a while, because we get into habits. You can become roommates. You can be really good friends. You can even have a whole bunch of kids, but really you're just roommates. There's lots of dynamics that can take place where it's just easy or easier to not be fully happy. A lot of these situations. So, and people right now, especially right now, I'm an older guy, and I can tell you that more so right now, what I've seen in the country and in my life is people just need a breather. They just need a break, and they'll choose peace over happiness, I'd say 8 times out of 10. And when that's your relationship, where you're just choosing ease and choosing peace and choosing leave me alone, it's just absolutely destined to no longer be a relationship in the end. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
No, I see that. I see that.
100%.
I see it. Well, do you want to close us out today? Because I'm
Sure.
up.
Love
Unless you
to.
have another, I just put that pressure on you. I didn't even warn you it was coming.
That's okay. I'm kind of used to that with the podcast with
I
you, to
hate
not know what's
that.
coming next.
I'm so awkward. So you should just always know if we're on here that you have to do the ending because I don't know what to say.
I'm totally ready. I can say that I love the fact that we just sat down and had this conversation like this, with really no preparation and just kind of from our hearts. And you got to just talk about your experience with your marriage. I got to talk about my experience with mine. That doesn't say that you and I have perfect marriages. It says that you and I are absolutely wide open to change, to becoming better, and to owning our own stuff. And I think that 90% of succeeding in anything, whether it be succeeding at being a parent, succeeding at being a husband or a wife, succeeding at your job, 90% of succeeding is wanting to. Wanting to. And I think if you just come from a place like that, and that's your heart posture, that you just really want to make it work, you're going to find a way.
That's
That's it.
awesome. All right. Love you guys. We'll see you later.